RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo tweets to impress on budget synchronization. Indonesia and Japan encourage local community-based tourism in Palestine. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will soon issue special presidential instruction, or locally called impress, to regulate the synchronization of planning and budgeting in the national development. This was stated by Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung. He made a statement in a limited meeting chaired by President Joko Widodo on the impress on the synchronization of planning and budgeting. The meeting was held to discuss the matter because many programs or plannings are open out of synchronization with budgeting. On the occasion, National Development Planning Minister Bapenas Sopian Jalil also said that President Joko Widodo will issue a special impress so that there is synchronization between planning and budgeting. Minister Jalil also said that impress will regulate the special allocation fund, subsidy village funds, and the tax on finance ministry, Bapenas, and regional government. The Indonesian football competition, which is supported by Youth and Sport Ministry, is planned to commence at the end of April. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to open the competition in person, Youth and Sport Minister Imanul Rawi said on the sidelines of a declaration of construction of 1,000 football fields in Bogor, West Java recently, that he has not unveiled the name of the competition, which is expected to mark the return of Indonesian football competition after long absence. Minister Imam also expressed that football competition must start soon. However, he hopes that Indonesian people have to keep their patience as the government is doing its best. Meanwhile, Deputy for Sport Achievement Division of Youth and Sport Ministry Gatot Dewabroto has confirmed the government's support for the competition to be commenced at the end of April, but he also declined to disclose the name of the competition. Indonesia and Japan have encouraged local community-based tourism in Palestine to improve local people's welfare. Minister of Foreign Affairs Technical Cooperation Director Siti Nugraha Maulidia remarked in a seminar on Palestinian tourism in Jakarta on Wednesday that local people must be trained to develop the tourism industry and to encourage Indonesia and Palestine to move forward together to become a more prosperous country. Besides, she added that hospitality being offered by Palestinian community will also improve the comfort of tourists visiting the country. Siti Maulidia hopes that the seminar on Palestine tourism can also encourage a discussion about Palestinian and Indonesian efforts to develop tourism and antiquities in both countries. Indonesian Education and Culture Minister Director General of Culture Hilmar Faris said the government will still send a letter to the global parkour community to protest one of parkour's athletes who starred in a commercial of energy drink brand Red Bull. In the 23-second commercial, the athlete was jumping and running around on Borobudur Temple. Hilmar said at the Office of Education and Culture Ministry on Wednesday that the government believed that the global parkour community has the code of conduct for its athletes. The government expects the community to reprimand the athlete because his conduct has disrespected the cultural heritage of Indonesia. To promote the arts in Indonesia, the Minister of Education and Culture will launch program learning from artists at schools. Director General of the Culture at the Minister of Education and Culture, Hilmar Faris, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the program is aimed at bringing art back to schools. This program will begin in late April and implemented in 20 provinces in Indonesia by involving local artists. In our school, the primary focus is academic activities. The concept of this ministry is to add an element of art. Of course, this is not new. We have the art lessons from, but they are not good. So we choose schools that have not changed, and there is no other purpose except bringing art back to schools. Hilmar Farid further explained the art will be touched in the art of performing visual dance and traditional music. On the same occasion, the Deputy Director for Program Evaluation and Documentation Directorate of Art and Film, Kuat Priyatin, said that this program will impact 4,000 students. The program is scheduled for 3 weeks. We clustering system that artists will teach at school and students from other regions can join. Each school will be touched one type of art. In the future, Hilmar Farid also plans to create a program that aims to restore literature at schools. The National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, encourages the strengthening efforts on law enforcement against terrorism acts and the spread of radical ideology in Indonesia. This was stated by head of BNPT Commissioner General Tito Karnavian in a working meeting between the Terrorism Agency and the House Commission 3 in Jakarta on Wednesday. General Tito said that to strengthen the law enforcement effort, the Indonesian government should strengthen law enforcers' capabilities, namely strengthening the monitoring and detection intelligence, strengthening the ability of scientific investigation and prosecution capacity building in all fields. In addition, General Tito added that the Indonesian government should also strengthen coordination among all parties to prevent the radical ideology spread to vulnerable societies, including rehabilitation towards terrorist conflicts.
Indonesia, semenjak bom Bali, di era demokrasi ini,
since the Bali bombing, in this democracy era, Indonesia prefers to choose the law enforcement effort because of the law supremacy. So we should strengthen the capabilities of law enforcers. Second point is to strengthen abilities and coordination as prevention and rehabilitation effort. Furthermore, General Tito Karnavian said that the Indonesian government should also consider the need to establish special prison for terrorist convicts, as current prisons allow them to recruit followers from other crime convicts. He also pointed out that Indonesia needs a maximum security prison that avoids terrorist convicts to communicate with outsiders and to prevent them from planning terrorist acts from inside the prison. The last item, to combat the spread of radical ideology and to prevent terrorist acts in Indonesia, the National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, conducted the radicalization effort. It was conducted towards terrorism convicts in prison to optimize prevention among citizens. This was stated by head of the BNPT Commissioner General Tito Karnavian in a working meeting between the agency and the House Commission 3 in Jakarta on Wednesday. General Tito Karnavian affirmed that in addition to the radicalization effort, the Indonesian government also encourages re-education and re-socialization of nationalism towards the convicts in their serving periods in the prison.
Pembinaan tersebut meliputi wawasan kebangsaan, wawasan keagamaan.
The guidance includes nationalism, religious insight, as well as entrepreneurship. We cooperate with many parties, including ministries and small-medium enterprises, and most of us have a memorandum of understanding with Minister of Law and Human Rights. In addition to the terrorism convicts in prison, General Tito Karnavian said that the radicalization is also conducted towards vulnerable societies. He perceived that people are also encouraged to proactively prevent the spread of radical ideology. General Tito explained that reports on preventing the spread of radical ideology and terrorism act should be supported by all parties to avoid Indonesia from major damage. That's the news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, turn with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. And if you see beauty of nature among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitled DPD's Uproar in Connection with Technical Matters. Uproar broke out at the opening session of the Regional Representative Council DPD earlier this week. Unfortunately, this was not related to substantial matters in connection with the vision of the regional development. The uproar among internal DPD members has occurred since last January, and this was concerning technical matters and formalities such as discipline and tenure in the leadership of the DPD. Pros and cons of the proposed reduction of DPD tenure from 5 years to 2.5 years are still ongoing. In fact, it has become an open conflict, which is clearly visible in the public. The uproar of the DPD has raised questions about the institution's ability to maintain their honor and to show a good performance. It's feared that the uproar sounded by the DPD will only increase public cynicism towards this institution, whereas the council role is very strategic for regional development. People wouldn't be disturbed if the uproar of the DPD occurred because of serious debates about a more equitable development strategy for all regions in Indonesia. Regional development agenda should be on focus of the DPR's struggle, not internal interest. The outcry showed that DPD members have not been able to solve the conflict in their own body. The uproar that occurred was also an example of the elite's inability to resolve the questions of organization, institution, and statehood. Some serious questions that always come out are about the ability to resolve conflicts among the elite figures, including organizational conflict. The ability and wisdom are necessary to resolve the questions. How are the elite figures able to cope with complex problems suddenly faced by the nation and the state if the organization's internal problem-solving ability is not obvious? Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an accident on April 14, 1912. RMS Titanic hit iceberg and sent around Newfoundland. RMS Titanic, a luxurious British passenger liner, had its maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York City, USA. During its midnight voyage, the 883-foot long ship hit an iceberg on April 14, 1912, around 11:40 p.m. Then at around 2:20 a.m. April 15, 1912, the Titanic sank in the North Atlantic Ocean. Lacking of lifeboats and other emergency property, more than 1,500 people died in the incident. From 2,200 passengers and crews in the Titanic, only 700 were survived. Most of them were women and children. This incident became the greatest maritime disaster in history. Moving into 2010, 6.9 Richter scale earthquake hit Yushu, Qianhai People's Republic of China. The 2010 Yushu earthquake occurred on April 14, 2010 with magnitude around 6.9 Richter scale. More than 2,000 people were declared dead and more than 10,000 others were wounded. According to United States Geology Survey, USGS, there were 6 earthquakes in less than 3 hours and all of them were above 5.9 Richter scale, while the greatest one was 6.9 Richter scale. Meanwhile, China's Earthquake Network Center recorded as 7.1 Richter scale among the earthquakes. The USGS explained the first epicenter was located 380 kilometers southeast of Kowloon, a big city in Qianhai. With depth around 10 kilometers, less than 10 minutes later, the area was hit by several aftershocks reaching 5.3 Richter scale and 5.2 Richter scale. The serial earthquake annihilated most of Qianhai region. Well, listener, we end Today in History with an event on April 14, 2011. Roshan Anwar, Indonesian senior journalist, passed away. Roshan Anwar is an Indonesian press figure. He had written 21 books and hundreds of articles in most of mainstream newspapers and magazines in Indonesia as well as foreign publishers. Roshan began his journalistic career as a reporter of Asia Raya Daily during Japanese colonial in 1943. Then he became editor-in-chief for Mingguan Siasat until 1957 and Pedoman in 1948-1961. In 1950, with Usman Ismail, he founded the National Film Company, or Perfini. Since the end of 1981, he promoted Indonesian movies overseas and became a film critic until the end of his life. On April 14, 2011, Roshan Anwar passed away due to illness and was buried in Kalibata Heroes Cemetery, South Jakarta. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus. I'm here, Manar Rahmana, to inform you in focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesian bureaucracy ready to face the challenges of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. President Joko Widodo reminds that it's important to face global economic competition, especially ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, which has come into force since the beginning of 2016. This was expressed by President Joko Widodo in a meeting with all Indonesian governors, deputy governors, mayors, regents, and deputy mayors and regents of the result of the simultaneous elections. President Joko Widodo also said as the country caught a great shift, Indonesia must be ready to face global competition because the global economy will bring about impact on Indonesia. He said at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesia is facing not only AEC but also European Free Trade Area, EFTA, and the Bloc of China. President Joko Widodo also remarked that in addition to facing any blocs joining in the ASEAN Economic Community, the European Union and China as the global economies have to compete and face the economic bloc of the United States. So it's difficult for Indonesia to avoid global competition. Thus, President Joko Widodo also pointed out that both central and regional governments should have the same strategy to face the challenges of the global economy. Meanwhile, the Institute of Public Administration, LAND, reported that the bureaucracy posture of Indonesia still faces severe challenges in the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, which has been running since beginning of 2016. Head of the Institute, Adi Suryanto, affirmed in a national seminar on business competition to face AEC taking place in Jakarta on Tuesday that with the implementation of AEC, Indonesia is facing opportunities and challenges, whether the government is ready because it has long lived in a non-competing culture. Adi also said it should be realized that the posture of the bureaucracy in Indonesia is not actually good enough because the total number of silver serpents is 4.49 million, as many as 44% is still graduates from high school. Of the 44% of the high school graduates, the number of graduates of junior school and even elementary school is almost half. Meanwhile, the number of strata 1 graduate is 42%, strata 2 12%, and strata 3 is only 1.1%. Adi added that with the present posture to compete, especially in ASEAN Economic Community, is a very hard job to carry out, since it takes a good strategy and a great effort from the government so that Indonesian civil servants can increase their capacity and competence. Adi also pointed out that in some regions throughout Indonesia, there had been some form of trainings for the state apparatus, but few areas have no such program, especially at this moment. The civil servants are still regarded as a production factor and not the state asset. Thus, they have to improve their competence. The regional governments must also provide professional trainings for their civil servants, because the regional competitiveness and the value of competition are two important aspects to face ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. In this era, people are competing not only fellow regions in Indonesia, but also some cities or other countries in ASEAN region. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will soon issue special presidential instruction to regulate the synchronization of planning and budgeting in the national development. The Indonesian football competition, which is supported by Youth and Sport Ministry, is planned to commence at the end of April. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to open the competition in person. Indonesia and Japan have encouraged local community-based tourism in Palestine to improve local people's welfare. Minister of Foreign Affairs Technical Cooperation Director Siti Nugraha Maulidia remarked in a seminar of Palestine tourism in Jakarta on Wednesday that local people must be trained to develop tourism industry and to encourage Indonesia and Palestine to move forward together to become a more prosperous country. Indonesian Education and Culture Minister Director of Culture Hilmar Faris said the government will still send a letter to the global Faircore community to protest one of the Faircore athletes who steer in the commercial of energy drink brand Red Bull. To promote the arts in Indonesia, the Minister of Education and Culture will launch program learning from artists at schools. Director General of the Culture at the Minister of Education and Culture Hilmar Farid said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the program is aimed at bringing art back to schools. The National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, encourages the strengthening efforts on law enforcement against terrorism acts and the spread of radical ideology in Indonesia. To combat the spread of radical ideology and to prevent terrorism acts in Indonesia, the National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, conducted the radicalization effort. It was conducted towards terrorism conflicts in the prison to optimize prevention among citizens. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. And if you see beauty of nature among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel love. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the Central Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, Pemalang is one of the districts in Central Java Province, which is located on the northern coast of Java. From Semarang, capital of Central Java, the distance of Pemalang Regency is approximately 135 kilometers to the west. The Regency is now seriously developing the tourism potential in 2016 to increase tourist visits to Pemalang. One of the efforts is to develop a tourism village, namely Cikandung Tourism Village. Cikandung Tourism Village is located in Pulau Sari Subdistrict, about 45 kilometers to the south Pemalang. Cikandung Village, known as the village at the foot of Mount Slamet, which has cool air. Listener, the tourism village is located on 700 meters above sea level, with a distance of approximately from Pemalang City about 1.5 hours, is known as Cultural Tourism Village. Here, the local people still preserve the traditions and culture of their ancestors, one of them namely Sila Kupang dance. Perhaps the performance of the Sila Kupang dance believed to bring rain amid the droughts. Sila Kupang dance is played about an hour by 10 dancers, 8 female dancers, and 2 male dancers. Cikandung Tourism Village, located near the beautiful Mount Betek with a green natural panoramic view. Traveling to the village, you can be hiking to the Mount Betek. When you have reached the top of Mount Betek, if the weather is good, you can see a view of 7 mountain peaks that can be seen from the top of Mount Betek, namely the top of Mount Sindoro, Sumbing, Merapi, Merbabu, Dieng, Slamet, and Mount Cermai. The view from the top of the mountain is very beautiful. After climbing the Mount Betek, and when you are getting tired and hungry, you can enjoy a variety of typical cuisine of this tourism village. One of them called corn rice. Corn rice side dish is very enjoyable with urap, buntil, lompong leaves, teri, and typical Cikandung sambal ontok or ontok condiment. Sambal ontok is made of chili, red onion, garlic, and shrimp paste, which are fried and pestled. Treehouse attraction will present at the Cikandung Tourism Village. The treehouse is still in the development process. Later, you can enjoy the view of the sunrise from the top of treehouse and the mountains like Mount Betek and Salaman. In addition to artificial tourist attractions such as treehouse, near the Cikandung Tourism Village, there are also waterfalls that can be visited. To spend the night in the village, you can stay at hotel and guest houses or homestay in the resident houses. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Cikandung Tourism Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you. Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, here is Miscellany. In this edition, we present to you the information on Cilegon Ethnic Carnival. Stay tuned. Listener, Cilegon is an industrial city in Banten province. Besides industrial, the city near the Sunda Strait is also known as the Steel City because it is the biggest steel producer in Southeast Asia, with around 6 million tons of steel production annually in the Krakatau Steel Industrial Area, Cilegon. Being an industrial city, Cilegon is rarely visited by the tourists. Most people come to Cilegon for work or business. While actually, Cilegon has an interesting tourism destinations. For example, it has Batur Mount for agrotourism and Krakatau Country Club with recreation facilities for the family and expatriates. In order to get more visitors to Cilegon, the local government holds many activities. Among many is the Cilegon Ethnic Carnival, which is held for the fourth time at the courtyard of Cilegon Mayor Office on April 27, 2016. In here, people and everyone can enjoy the culture, ethnic and art performances coming from various regions of the archipelago, especially of course from Cilegon itself. Themed Ethnic Multicultural in Harmony, the Cilegon Ethnic Carnival 2016 will have a parade or carnival as well as costume competition with Archipelago Kingdom concept. The participants came from schools, art studios or individuals. Different from last year, the route for the carnival or the parade is increased. Previously, the parade will just pass the road in front of Mayor's office, but now it will also pass the protocol road, Mayor's office and Mayor's official residence. Just like its name, Cilegon Ethnic Carnival present you various cultures and ethnicities developing in the city of Cilegon without forgetting the original culture of the city. The diverse culture in Cilegon becomes a new power for the city as a metropolitan city, yet still thick of culture and environmentally friendly. In this event, at least there will be 5 kinds of Cilegon original culture and 48 contemporary costume icons, including the trending Cirebon original batik. And listener, that's the miscellany. Let's meet again next time with other interesting topic. Thanks for listening and sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you Indonesian pop singer Titik Sandora. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song by Titik Sandora entitled Bunga Mawar. Happy listening. Sandora, whose real name, Umiati, was born in Bentar, Bumi Ayu, Central Java, on January 20, 1954. She began her singing career in 1960s. Her first recording album, entitled Si Bonchal, the music was arranged by Zainal Combo leader Zainal Arifin. With the lyrics on the album put on the highest rank of the music charts in all state and private radio stations in Indonesia at that time. In addition to Si Bonchal, there are also a song entitled Fujiyama, Si Siti Jadi Pengantin, as well as Teman Sekolah. Titik Sandora's popularity continued to rise. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Merantau by Titik Sandora. Happy listening. That successfully sung by Titik Sandora confirms the uniqueness of her voice with a nice vibration compared to other singers at that time. The top career of Titik Sandora was reached after she performed in a duet with Mohsin Alatas. Along with the man from Makassar who later became her life partner, Titik Sandora successfully released their hit song such as Halo Sayang, Dunia Belum Kiamat, Hatimu Hatiku, Pertemuan Adam dan Hawa, as well as Jangan Marah. Nevertheless, the songs of Titi and Mohsin have been well accepted by people in early 1970s. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Dunia Belum Kiamat and Hatimu dan Hatiku by duet Titi Sandora and Mohsin Alatas. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
pikir-pikir sampai tua. Diri miskin, siapa yang mau?
Sabarlah sabar, tunggu dulu. Belum tentu orang tak mau.
Sudah ku pikir sama saja.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Okay.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.